This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The Junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the Junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What's good, Real Wrestling Community? I am your host, Junkyard James, and this is episode 151 of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I want to appreciate everyone that tuned in to this week's live stream where me and Cody broke down some of the hottest news in AEW. This is the Saturday show, and so typically the expectation is this man's about to rant for the next 30 minutes. And I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get to the monologue. That's going to end the show, but I've decided I wanted this show to have a little bit more to it rather than just me ranting for 30, 45 minutes a week. And so there's going to be some other additional things added starting today and moving forward. But first, let's introduce the show. If you haven't listened to an episode of this podcast before, I'm Junkyard James. I've been a pro wrestling fan for, quite honestly, most of my life. AEW saved my wrestling fandom because it was getting pretty bad towards the 2018-2019 era of WWE, and AEW came in and kept to me as a wrestling fan. And so I am super, so the reason why I am a little bit more biased, and I'll admit it, a biased, but I am biased in the favor of AEW. They aren't perfect, and I will call them out when they do things. And honestly, today's monologue is me calling out AEW calling on AEW to give us something in the future. If you're a wrestling fan, or maybe you're just getting into wrestling, I would love for you all to hit that subscribe button, like, comment, share. Let me know what you want me to talk about. This Saturday show, I really want it to be a show that the community likes, and maybe not focus so much on what's actually going on inside of the ring on a week-to-week basis, I want to save that for the live stream and break that down with my guy Cody. But for this Saturday show, really the goal is let's just talk wrestling at a macro level, right? Let's not focus on the micro level of what's going on in the ring on a weekly basis. Let's look at it from a macro level, pull it out, zoom it out, you know, to as far out as we can, get that bird's eye view of what the wrestling world really is, but just have a little bit of fun and build a community. Because if you go to the Discord, link in the description below, we are building the Real Wrestling community. And I want this to be a podcast and a community that you don't get to just talk wrestling while we're live on the live stream, or, you know, you share your thoughts on the Saturday video. I want you to be able to share your thoughts throughout the week in the Discord. So go ahead and join that Real Wrestling community and help build that community for us. And so you know, one last thing, if you listen to the audio version of this podcast, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite platform. That way you get updated when a new episode drops. Typically Saturday morning, I upload both versions of the podcast. So the live stream is recorded live, typically on YouTube, on Thursday nights, and then gets uploaded Saturday morning to the audio version. I just wanted to let the YouTube version have a link to the channel, because I think there's value in YouTube. And so I'm gonna kind of give them a day or so of exclusive listening power on the YouTube channel. But then eventually we'll, you know, Saturday morning, we do put the show up on the show. And then Saturday afternoon is when, on the audio version, is when the Saturday show goes up. Saturday morning, or whenever I finish recording, is when it goes up on YouTube. So it gets a few hours of exclusive play on YouTube in and of itself. But anyways, regardless how you listen, make sure you subscribe, comment, leave reviews, let everybody know about the show. Let's jump into what's new on the show. So I recently stumbled across a website called WrestlePlay. And they have a couple games. There's like bingo and some other things that you can do related to wrestling. There's one that I love looking at, and they have like wrestling Wordle. But the first topic is me trying to beat one of these games. And so the two that I love, there's one called WrestlePlay Connections. And so it's typically like four different categories based off of the connection. So if it's like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, and somebody else, the connection may be like WWE champion. And that would be that connection. But the other one, and the one that we're going to play today, is called WrestlePlay Grid. And so essentially the grid is, it's a 3x3 square, and you have to fill in all 9 other positions in order to win. And so let's go ahead and start this game. And I don't know how long this is going to take, but let's go ahead and see if I can fill out this grid for today. All right. So today's categories the column, we got Europe, wrestling, siblings, and IC champion between 2002 and 2011. And then in this, and that's the row, I think. And then the column is beat Goldberg 1v1 in a pay-per-view match. someone that has been a teammate or allied with Seth Rollins and a current AEW wrestler, feel is the easiest one to get out here. That would be Will Ospreay. My internet connection might make this really slow. So, someone from Europe that has been a teammate of Seth Rollins. This is a difficult one. Let me think of all of his teammates, because he's had several. The only one that, like, but he's from Australia, so I don't, that's not technically Europe. Let's see. Who's beat Goldberg one-on-one in a pay-per-view from Europe? Gunther? No. Maybe did I spell it wrong? I don't know. Did it freeze on me? Maybe I spelled it wrong. Let's try that again. Gunther. Maybe not. All right. Wrestling siblings beat Goldberg. I'm thinking like Bret Hart. Yeah, so Bret Hart beat Goldberg, a teammate with Seth Rollins. Is that so? This is actually kind of more difficult. Okay, maybe not. Him and Darius are brothers, aren't they? What's another AEW sibling? Would you give me Robin Renegade? No. Man, I was almost positive Darius and Dante Martin. I did Dante. Maybe we do Darius. No, no place for Darius Martin. That's crazy. This is broken. Jey Uso was a teammate with Seth Rollins and AEW. And then an IC champ from 2002 to 2011 in AEW. Like, to me, like, the only one that makes sense would be Billy Gunn. IC champ that tag teamed with Seth Rollins. Chris Jericho. He might be. There he goes. He gets the AEW one. Chris Jericho. This is tough. Because I didn't really watch a whole lot of wrestling from 2002 to 2011. So I don't know who beat Goldberg preview one-on-one. Like, I'm only going to look up to 2011 list of WWE IC champions. All right, let's find 2002. All right, William Regal, I don't think he did. Eddie Guerrero, I don't think he did. Robin Dam, Chris Benoit. I'm gonna throw. I don't think any of these people beat Goldberg 101. Did the Undertaker win the IC belt at any time? But I think Undertaker lost 1v1. All right. The only one that makes sense to me is Shelton Benjamin. Is it triple nose? All right, there we go. He tag team with Seth Rollins. Triple nose. Maybe Kane. No way, Rob Van Dam. Beat him, right? Come on. Yeah. Randy Orton, no. Did Ric Flair beat him? No. I mean, that could have been a WCW connection. I'm just going down the list of IC champions at this point. I can't think, like, it had to be an early in his run because didn't Goldberg, like, stop wrestling after, like, 2000-something? Christian. So, like, yeah, Chris Benoit's never going to be in there. I guess it could have been Eddie. But it ain't. I have no idea who has beaten... Is it Booker T? No. On in a pay-per-view. All right, I might have to skip that one because I have no freaking earthly idea. Who this could be. Because like the one thing about Goldberg is Goldberg very rarely lost. Like I feel like it has to be triple nose. Can we do him again? No. Guess you can only do each person once. And it has to be at a pay-per-view. Which makes it even harder. Okay, let me do something real quick. I wonder. Let me just try Scott Hall. Does he work? Because he's beaten Goldberg before, I think. My internet's slow. This is taking a lot longer than I thought it would take. So, nope. The six superstars who beat... I don't even know. I don't even know. All right. Let's move on for a minute. Let's try and attack this one from Europe. Will that count? I think he tag teamed with... I didn't put Shinsuke. I put Akam. No. I guess they're not from... Who has Seth Rollins teamed up against? Drew McIntyre? Oh, here we go. We got Drew McIntyre. He can take both of the Goldbergs. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So that takes that column out. So now we got three more. So I'm going Sheamus. No, European allied with Seth Rollins. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like Buddy Murphy is an answer that should be. Yeah, my internet's running slow, so it's... Buddy Matthews. Nope. Man, this is actually kind of tough. Let's think. Finn Balor, maybe? That's the only other one I can think of. If I spelled it wrong, all right, it might work. Not Finn, but Balor, Cesaro. Spelled it wrong. Cesaro. I can't type, apparently. Claudio Castagnoli. Come on. Oh, goodness. My internet sucks. Nope. That wrestling siblings one for AEW is going to eat me alive. Currently in AEW. Siblings in AEW. Okay. Can it be? Maybe this one would work. Mark Briscoe. There we go. All right, Mark Briscoe. He's on the list. All right. Wrestling siblings that have allied with Rollins. Two more. Is he's Australian too, isn't he? Bronson Reed. Yeah, he's Australian too. Man. Kevin Owens is Canadian. I wonder if this could go back before WWE. Because if so, someone like I don't know, man. I don't know. This is tough. This is going to be interesting. Let's see if this works. Does Becky Lynch work here? Yes! All right. Oh, I'll pull that one out of the bag. All right, now I need a wrestling sibling. God. Hold on. Can this no place for Kane? I was gonna say he was in the Authority. Mm. does LA Knight work? Because technically there was a story in place where he was a sibling of Maxine Dupree. Are they playing? Nope. Okay. Siblings. Matt Hardy? No. This is going to be something dumb. I feel it. Oh. Well, hold on. It can't be that easy, right? Roman Reigns. There we go. All right, we solved it. We solved it. Well, there we go. All right, we'll try this every week, and maybe we'll play a different version of the game. But all right. That went well, I think, for the first time. It took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. But yeah. Let's move on to the next topic. All right. So we played that game. Before we get into the monologue, and I'm going to talk about some wrestling stuff, I want to actually take a moment and just break down some other things on the on my mind. As you see in the background, I am a big Buffalo Bills fan, and so I do like to talk a little bit about football. And I'm going to start this week, and then every week I'll keep up with it. That's the top 10 teams in the NFL. And then I also want to talk about what the biggest need is for the Buffalo Bills. We'll start with that one first. What's the biggest need for the Buffalo Bills? Just to play like the Buffalo Bills of last year. We have the weapons. I think this team is more talented than the team last year. We just got to stop playing cute. We just got to play our best brand of football. And the last couple weeks we haven't. We tried playing a different brand of football. We got to stop taking James Cook out in the fourth quarter and replacing them with running backs that obviously aren't getting the production that James Cook is getting. I just play Buffalo Bills football, like play really good defense. If the defense is going to give up somewhere between 17 and 24 points a game, but this offense, when the offense is at its best, can score 30 to 35 points a game. So, but when we play too cute and we I don't know. It wouldn't hurt if we got like a better cornerback. If we got another receiver that could actually stretch the field and get separation and has better speed than Keon Coleman has. But at the end of the day, I think coaching and play calling is the biggest need, because it don't matter. You can have all the weapons in the world. If you don't put them in the right positions, the right circumstances, it don't matter how good they are. You're probably still going to lose. Big test this week against the Carolina Panthers. Hopefully the Bills can stop this two-game losing streak that they have every single freaking year at week 5 and week 6. So anyways, let's talk about the top 10 teams that I have in the NFL so far this year. We'll start at the bottom. We'll go to the top. Number 10. The Chicago Bears. I think Ben Johnson has something going for this Chicago team. They are a really, they're not the greatest team in football. And I don't know if they'll win that division, because they're bound to lose a game that they probably should win. But I think they're one of the better teams in football this year. I think they're on a 3-game winning streak. They don't have to ask Caleb Williams to do everything on that team. They got good running backs. And DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manhangai. Roma Dunza is a really good receiver. DJ Moore, that defense looks pretty good. The offensive line could use some help. But I think the Chicago Bears, they're starting to show that, like, you get a good coach and you get a good culture, and this team may turn around. I like the Bears. I got them at number 10. Number 9, I got the Denver Broncos. This was the team that I thought could upset the Chiefs and win the division this year. They may. I think they have a better record right now than the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are getting pretty hot. And I like Bo Nix, but it's not the same Bo Nix of his rookie year. I think people expected that. There's a little bit of questioning whether or not this team has the ability to win against really good teams. I think they can. I like the Broncos. They have my number 9 spot. My number 8 spot, this is probably the biggest shocker to me. Like, to be completely honest and as unbiased as possible, the New England Patriots, I have at number 8. I didn't expect them to be as good as they are. I didn't expect Drake May to just immediately click to a Josh McDaniels system and become basically maybe a better version of Tom Brady, because he actually is a little bit more mobile than Tom Brady and can scramble very well and pick up yards with his legs if need be. But he's making really good throws. Drake May looks really good. I got to give him props. I hate to say it, but the New England Patriots are the 8th best team in the league. Just above them at 7, I got the Seattle Seahawks. I think there's something going on in the water in New York that quarterbacks just can't seem to do great in New York, but do great outside once they leave New York. You have Sam Darnold, had a franchise career-altering year with Minnesota last year. He goes to Seattle for the money, bigger, and then everyone's like, I don't know if this is going to work in Seattle, and Sam Darnold is looking great again. They even lose Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, and they still look really freaking good this year. They got really good running backs. There's a rumor that the Seahawks may try and pick up Devon Achane at the deadline. I don't know if that happens. They got really good defense, and I like the Seahawks, and I like to see where this goes. I think they may be a sneaky wild card team because of another team in that division that I think is just a little bit better. And number 6, we got the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're a good team. Obviously, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. They have a really good roster. My problem with them is sometimes it's very easy to know what they're going to do. They're very easy to predict. Their offense isn't anything flashy anymore. And they get down to the goal line and you know what's going to happen. They're going to score. They're going to score a lot of points. Their defense is pretty good. But they lose games they should win. They should have beaten the Giants and they didn't. They should have beaten the Broncos and they didn't. And so I think it was the Broncos. But they're 5-2. They're probably the best bet to win that division now with Dallas. I don't know how good Dallas is going to end up being. The Giants aren't going to compete. Washington is having injury problems. I think the Eagles win that division and they probably make a pretty good run in the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough though to win the Super Bowl or anything, but they're a playoff team. Number 5, we got to put the Kansas City Chiefs up at 5th. I can't put them any higher because their record says that they're not higher than a 5th best team. But their record as of late, their last couple games, they look like maybe one of the best teams in football. They're getting Rashee Rice back. They're getting their offense back together. And that's scary for the AFC. They gave them a really good opportunity for a team to pull away, and the Colts may be the closest to pulling away. The Bills, if they didn't drop their last two games, could be undefeated and pulling away from the AFC, and they dropped their last two games. The Colts have lost a game or two, and the Chiefs are going to try and make a push here at the back end of the season to have the number 1 seed in the AFC. And number 4, I have the Colts. They're 6-1. They're not playing a really tough schedule, and I can't really knock them that much for that because you play who you're assigned essentially in the NFL. But they got a really good team. Daniel Jones looks MVP-like. Again, another New York quarterback that looks better once he leaves New York. And the Colts, Jonathan Taylor is the best running back right now in football. That defense looks good. I like the Colts. I expect them to go pretty far in this season, and maybe even win a couple playoff games. At number 3, I have the Buffalo Bills, and I know they dropped 2 games and they lost to the Atlanta Falcons, which was embarrassing, and they lost to the New England Patriots. But again, this Patriots is a top 10 team. I didn't expect it, and they walked right over us at home. But again, this is kind of with the assumption, if the Bills play football the way the Bills, we know them to play football, they're probably one of the most dominant teams in the league. As of the last couple weeks, they're not, but I still have them in the top three because I think the Buffalo Bills, and there may be a little bias in this, I'll be honest, but I think the Buffalo Bills will turn ship. They always do this every year where they lose a couple games, like in the second quarter of or first half of the season that they probably should win, and then they pull out like seven straight wins. I think this will be fine. I think the Bills are a really good team. They just gotta get their mojo back. At number two, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, solely because Baker Mayfield can basically take a roster of nothing and turn it into a really good team. Baker Mayfield looks fantastic. I think he's my front runner for MVP so far this year. Mike Evans has been out for a large part of the season. Chris Godwin has been out for the large part of the season, but don't fret. Emeka Abuka's there. They have Cameron Brate. Really good running back roster there. Really good defense. I like the Buccaneers. I have them at number two. But I think the best team in football right now is the LA Rams. Sean McVay is probably, in my opinion, the best coach in football in the NFL. This team has no business being this good, right? They have Puka Nacua, and yeah, they have Davante Adams, and yeah, they have Kyron Williams, and they got really good team. But there was no way in the world that you would have predicted at this point the Rams would be as good as they are. But Sean McVay comes in, Matt Stafford, who the talk of the town about the Rams is Matt Stafford's been injured all freaking offseason. His back is bothering him, and you're like, well, he's going to start playing, and he's going to get hurt, and some, you know, Stetson Bennett or whatever is going to have to be the quarterback for this team, and they're just going to tank, and it's going to be the end of Stafford's career. And no, the Rams are 5-2 in a division that is stacked with 3 5-2 teams. The Seahawks, 49ers, and Rams are all 5-2. And it's going, this is like, what? Like, you did not expect this to happen. I like the Rams. I think they're the best team in football right now. And I know you're asking, where are the Lions? Where are the Packers? I don't trust them. The Lions are a good team. They're probably like right outside of the top 10, but I put the Bears over them right now, because the Bears to me are a better team right now than the Lions. Like, I don't trust the Lions to win against a really good team. I think the Bears can compete with some of the teams in the NFL, but those are my top 10 teams right now. I'll come back next week with another list and see the biggest losers, biggest gainers, things like that. But now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. And that is the monologue. You know, one of the biggest missed opportunities in AEW right now isn't about booking. It's not about TV rights. And it isn't really even missing signing the next big free agent. The biggest missed opportunity is really just sitting right in front of them. And it's something that could actually change the perception of their entire company overnight. What I'm talking about is for AEW to create an all-women's weekly TV show. And now, before you roll your eyes and start typing in the comments that an all-women's show has been tried before, or women's wrestling doesn't draw, I need you to stop and think about this for a second. Because those ideas are just not true. AEW has quietly built one of the deepest and most versatile women's rosters in wrestling today. They've got stars, workhorses, veterans, and prospects sitting there waiting for that spotlight, and the fans are ready to support them. And so this is why today I want to break down exactly why AEW should pull the trigger on an all-women's show, how it could succeed, and why it would actually be good for business and not just good PR. All right, so let's start with the foundation, and that's AEW's women's roster. People love to talk about AEW's men's locker room like it's a stacked deck of legends and work rate machines. And it is. I mean, Chris Jericho, Will Ospreay, Kyle Fletcher, like they're all great. But the women's division quietly mirrors that depth and in some cases may be better than AEW's men's roster. I mean, you got names like Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, Hikaru Shida, Mercedes Moné, and Willow Nightingale, women who could headline any show on their own. You've got the next rising generation, people like Sky Blue, Tekla, Julia Hart, Chris Statlander, and Anna Jay, Red Velvet, Queen Aminata, who are finding their own voice and character every single week. And then you got like legit vets like Serena Deeb, Emi Sakura, Athena, and even some of the talent on ROH who are killing it without that national spotlight. And to be honest, there's a lot of unused potential in AEW's women's division. The division isn't small. The division isn't bad. It's actually quite good, but it's just underutilized. AEW has enough talent to run a dedicated women's brand, whether it be an hour-long show on TBS or TNT, a Saturday night special on YouTube, or even a streaming exclusive on HBO Max. In my honest opinion, I think you bring back AEW Dark and have it just be your on YouTube and have it be your women's show, right? Have your women shine on Dark, and that's how you can do it. And AEW, I think, has the ability to do so. But I want you to think about this. Go back to like 2015-2016, when WWE's NXT women's division used to thrive with names like Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, etc., because WWE gave them time to tell stories. And AEW could easily do the same thing. Let's give the women reps. Let's give them matches. Let's give them the story arcs. And you'll see that the division will evolve naturally. Second thing I want to mention is like this narrative that the women wrestling doesn't draw. Like, I think this is an outdated narrative. I think AEW fans have proven that they really thoroughly enjoy women's wrestling. Look at the reaction that Willow Nightingale gets when her music pops. Look at how over the timeless Toni Storm character is. Look at how much people pop or boo for Mercedes Moné when she appears on AEW or other shows around the world. That star power that was built organically because the fans wanted it to. When the fans give you something authentic, when you give the fans something authentic, the fans will show up and support. AEW's audience has a track record of supporting women when they're presented not just as filler talent, but as stars. I mean, even some of the filler talent has gotten AEW contracts because of the fans clamoring for AEW to sign them. I remember when Chris Statlander first started in AEW, and she was just a jobber. And she did so well in her match that the AEW audience pushed, and I don't want to say forced, but pushed for AEW to sign her. And eventually Chris Statlander was signed to AEW, and now she's the women's champion. But let's not forget, when Thunder Rosa fought Britt Baker and it headlined the main event of a Dynamite with that lights out match, it was one of the most talked about matches of the entire year. It didn't just make shockwaves around the world. It proved that women's wrestling could be the closer in AEW's flagship show and that they could deliver. The fans wanted to see it. They want to see the stories behind the title picture. They want to see rivalries, tag teams, factions, and personality-driven storytelling. The same kind of storytelling that AEW gives the majority of the men's roster. So imagine AEW telling the fans, you love Willow Nightingale, you love Toni Storm, you love Hikaru Shida. Well, great, because here is a weekly showcase dedicated to these women telling these stories. And it's just not smart business. That's strategic business. That's how you show yourself as an innovator. Because let's not lie here. Because this is something people seem to overlook. The women segments on AEW shows often do solid ratings. They often do much better than some of the ratings of the men. When Toni Storm appears, ratings are great. When Mercedes Moné shows up, ratings seem to spike. When there's a strong women's storyline like Chris Statlander's TNT title run, or Julia Hart during her character arc with the House of Black, or Tekla and Aminata, like, fans tune in for these storylines. And it's not just a coincidence. It's proof that AEW fans are interested in women's wrestling. Wrestling audiences no longer reject women's wrestling. They reject lazy booking. And so if AEW could consistently put an effort behind a women's show with storylines, stakes, time to breathe, and the numbers would follow. I honestly believe, like, let's just be honest, AEW has Collision and the numbers aren't doing great. There's no reason to believe that an all-women's show couldn't do even better or equal numbers to what Collision is doing right now. And I tend to believe they would do better numbers. And even if it starts smaller, even if it is just an hour on YouTube or on HBO Max streaming, the long-term payoff is there. Look at how WWE's NXT built a loyalty. Look at how Stardom's women's division has a global following. AEW has that infrastructure, production value, and the brand trust to make an all-women's weekly show work. A women's weekly show could not only hold its own, but it could become a testing ground for future stars, feuds, and a fresh creative perspective in the women's division. See, because right now it seems like the women's division in AEW has maybe one major segment per week. And sometimes there's no major segments. It's just a couple minutes on the show. What it basically means is if you're not in the main title feud, you're practically invisible. And it's not because of lack of talent. There's just a lack of space on the card. So creating an all-women show instantly solves that lack of space. It creates room for development, promos, tag teams, backstage interviews, long-term storytelling, and character growth. Imagine, like, the Triangle of Madness cutting this dark cinematic style promos that were built to see on Dynamite and Collision, but building to a larger feud. Imagine Deonna Purrazzo showing up and being a top level heel, but also mentoring the next generation of women's wrestlers. Imagine the tag division actually getting TV time to actually tell really good tag team storytelling. See, a dedicated show doesn't isolate women. In fact, I think it empowers them because they're dedicated to their own show. But I wouldn't even segregate the women out of Dynamite and Collision. Here's how I would do it. I would tell your major stories on Dynamite and Collision, but you have to build an undercard. And right now, there's no undercard in the women's division. So I would use your weekly television show. That's why I'm saying, like, I'm okay with it being on YouTube. Because it doesn't have to be like this big, big production value TNT show with a lot of commercials and all of that. Like, just give us an hour or two of really good wrestling every week for the women's division and build that undercard so that you can have people that can go and work their way up to the title seat. This would allow the wrestlers to get the reps, the confidence, and the chemistry that would then eventually bring them into those major storylines on Dynamite and Collision. And creatively, it allows AEW to build these characters faster. Because you can only grow talent, you can only showcase the talent that you have on the show. And if you don't have the time to showcase the talent, you don't have a bench of stars waiting in the weights. But there's a bigger picture. Because it's bigger than just wrestling. See, AEW prides itself on being this alternative, right? But you can only call yourself the alternative if you give the women more than one 10-minute slot every Wednesday night. See, representation matters. You've got young women, young fans watching, women in the crowd holding signs for their favorite women's wrestlers, aspiring wrestlers who see themselves eventually wrestling like these performers or like these performers. And this is what a dedicated women's show sends a message to. We see you. You belong here. You matter. It becomes a part of AEW's identity. A company that gives everyone a chance to shine. And like AEW has like the all-female fan group, like AEW Heels. Like imagine if like AEW Heels could be like a major talking point during an all-women show. Like, hey, you know, because if you weren't instant like part of AEW from the beginning, I don't know if you even know what AEW Heels is. Right. So these new fans are coming in and they don't know how to integrate themselves into these communities. So you get an all women show and now you can push AEW Heels as part of the show. Hey, are you a woman? Do you love pro wrestling? You belong in AEW. Join AEW Heels. It's part of AEW's identity that there are spaces for everybody to have a community of wrestling fans. That have similar things in common with each other. And see, from a branding standpoint, that is a powerful thing. Sponsors will notice. Networks would notice. And the fans will reward that kind of inclusivity with their own loyalty. Brand loyalty matters. It really does. If you can get somebody to be loyal to a brand, that means you're winning the game with how you market your product and brand your product. But imagine you have this show and like a big company, like some makeup brand or Coach or some luxury, clothing company that targets women wants to now sponsor your show because they know, hey, our target market is women and the women are going to watch an all-women show, or the men may be watching for their significant others. Oh, okay. Well, AEW supports this company supports AEW, then I can have support in AEW. Right? So let's talk about the business. Because this isn't just a charity case. There is a strategy that comes in behind it. See, AEW already has this infrastructure. They already film multiple shows on a weekly basis. They already have a production crew and a ring setup crew and the talent under contract. So adding an additional hour for the women costs relatively little to the potential upside. The merchandising could go through the roof. Women's, you know, the women's wrestlers' t-shirts, there could be cosmetic tie-ins, there could be exclusive merch drops. All of that comes to a bigger scale when the talent gets more screen time. Streaming platforms like HBO Max are hungry for original content. And a women's show, like I would call it something like Empower. Right, AEW Empower or AEW Uprising or Queen's Road or something of that, like it could be perfectly, it could fit in perfectly on a streaming platform as exclusive content only for HBO Max viewers. And if you run a quarterly or a yearly all women's pay-per-view, you could create a destination event that could anchor the division just like All In does for AEW as a on a bigger scale. And plain and simple, that's growth. And that's exactly what AEW needs. See, women's wrestling is already in its golden era globally. You see this in areas like Stardom and TGPW and Impact's Knockouts Division, WWE's women main eventing WrestleMania. The world is ready for an all-women's show. They love women's wrestling. In fact, I was looking because Winnipeg Pro Wrestling put out the Mercedes Moné match from this past Sunday, where Mercedes Moné won the Winnipeg Pro Wrestling Women's Champion. And I was looking at their YouTube channel and just to kind of see, like, is this number, like, is this getting views or what? And as of this recording, the trailer for the show Mercedes Moné was on had 530 views. Most of their men's matches had like 200 or 300 views. But the matches that the women are wrestling in, they're their biggest viewed events. There's a match here between Bea Moss and Johnny Robbie. 5,600 views. Mercedes Moné match already almost at 10,000 views. The women's wrestling revolution on the indie scene is massive. I think women's wrestling is in a better place than men's wrestling in certain cases, because like you have a female fan base in the wrestling industry that is craving women's wrestling. They're craving that representation, and they are willing to support women's wrestling at a scale the industry I don't think hasn't seen yet. And see, AEW has that platform and they have the goodwill of the fans that could lead the charge of this cultural moment in women's wrestling. They don't have to follow what others have already done, because they can create and innovate what has been done and do it better and move women's wrestling to a bigger position. I mean, imagine if the show mixes in wrestling with like behind the scenes elements. What if it highlights like the humanity of what it means to be a woman in pro wrestling? Like, AEW could use this opportunity to blend the sport and storytelling better than anyone has done before, which is something that they've done really well at for years now. Now it's the time to do it for the women. Imagine like if they had a feud as good as what they put production value wise between Swerve and Hangman, but on the women's side. Like, imagine how good that could be. Imagine the creativity that could come out of this moment. And so let's picture this. A weekly AEW show, it sits like 1 hour. Your undercard, it's like a tag team match for the AEW Women's Tag Team Championships, maybe. Between Sky Blue and Julia Hart and Anna Jay and Ty Conti. There's some video packages, some spotlight features, backstage interviews, leading to like a match between Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale again. And then your main event, Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm fighting for the TBS title. A stage where women can tell their stories. It wouldn't replace their time on Dynamite or Collision, but rather enhancing and giving them more time to tell these stories. where the women's world title becomes a more meaningful title. The TBS title feels like a real prize. And suddenly AEW isn't just an alternative. It's the leader of a brand, of a movement. And that is the women's wrestling movement. Because leadership isn't about doing what's easy. It's about doing what's right and doing it right first. It's not about just throwing an idea out there. Like, remember, WWE threw out like this big idea of the women's revolution, right? But what has come out of that? Like, yeah, they've gotten pretty good matches, and but the women still aren't the main draw. The women still get subsequent time. The men still are the biggest thing in WWE. So yeah, they had this big revolution. Great. Like, the women aren't doing bra and panty matches and mud pits anymore, but they're still not treated equally in terms of perception of the division. You still have a section of the fan base that doesn't give a damn about the women and think they can't wrestle. And they haven't done anything to make a cultural change with the revolution. AEW could make that cultural change, and they could do it the right way and be the first to do it the right way. And so, to conclude, AEW has everything it needs. It has the roster, it has the audience, it has the resources, it has the talent, and it's in the right moment. An all women's show wouldn't be just another step forward in AEW, but rather it'd be a step forward for all of wrestling. It proved that women's wrestling isn't just a novelty, but rather it could be a cornerstone of a promotion. If AEW wants to be remembered, not just as another promotion going up against WWE, but rather a movement, then now is the time to stop treating women's wrestling like it's just another part of the show and start treating women's wrestling like it's its own show, like it's its own brand. Because when you give these women the ball, these women don't just run with it. They steal the whole damn show. Time and time again, we've seen it with these hardcore matches. We're going to see it again with the Blood and Guts match. When you give the women time to shine, when you give the women their moment, they don't just succeed. They steal the show. They over exceed expectations. But let me know what you guys thought about today's show. Remember to leave a comment, like, share, subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. I'm Junkyard James. This has been another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I appreciate you all for listening today. And we'll see you next week. Until then, have a good weekend. Enjoy some wrestling. We'll see you next week on the live stream on Thursday. Have a good weekend. Beyond the